You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast from 1600 ESPN. It's the Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on 1600 ESPN KGYM.
On a midweek Wednesday, we welcome you in to our studios here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Great to have you with us as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour. Scott Unash, joined by Mark Dukes, Isaac Elzing on the other side of the glass, our trusty producer once again here today. Got a good show coming up for you. Kevin Payne is going to be joining us in just a little bit, probably in about 25 minutes or so. And he will answer all your fantasy football questions. Get those ready to go at 319-366-1600. And we will get those answered with Kevin coming up at the bottom of the hour. Major League Baseball Wild Card Series game and day number 2 is upon us. We will update you on that, talk about what happened yesterday. The Big Ten holding their women's basketball media days today as well in Indianapolis. And we will get to that in just a moment or two. 319-366-1600. That is that text line, 319-366-1600. That's a phone line as well if you'd like to pick up the phone and give us a call. That is also 319-366-1600. As we come your way, 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and smart speaker. Isaac, how you doing? You look deep in thought over there.
So I'm just doing my job over here, messing around with different audio stuff and social media things.
Awesome.
Hard at work.
You are always hard at work.
I don't know about always.
Never doubt you.
I always look like I'm hard at work, at least.
You look like Costanza over there. Look irritated, we know you're working.
Yes, yeah.
You didn't look irritated, though.
I like to think I look pretty easygoing most of the time.
You are pretty easygoing. As we all are. Mark Dukes, good afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon to you, Scott and Isaac and everyone out there. And very crisp afternoon. Very refreshing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's nice. If we can just get some rain through here, solve a lot of the dryness, then it'd be perfect. But yeah, enjoy these temperatures right now in the low 70s. We'll also have a Bowling Night in America preview for you. We'll do that before 4 o'clock here today. 319-366-1600. We start, Mark, with Women's Basketball Media Days. Of course, the Iowa Hawkeyes attending that, along with 17 other schools in the Big Ten. Hawkeyes representing the Big Ten Conference in the last two NCAA Division I National Championship games. They made it all the way to Sunday evening. Did not bring home the big gold trophy, but still something to hang your hat on. No doubt about that. And Jan Jensen's first as the head coach. And it was, as only Jan can do, she brought a lot to the table today.
Yeah, she's just going to be an extension of what Lisa Bluter brought to the program. She talked today about she was asked about being hired to replace Bluter and actually got very emotional talking about that, how that transpired, mentioning Bluter and Kirk Ferentz. And she also talked about Lucy Olson, the Villanova transfer, who's expected to come in and do some pretty big things after being one of the top scorers in the country last year. And earlier, Jensen was part of a three-coach roundtable, and she talked about the expansion in the Big Ten and how it's going to be that much tougher to win a championship, and also talked about the interest continuing in women's basketball, particularly in Iowa City, and finally the portal and her philosophy on that, and she views it as a need basis type thing, that she doesn't intend to empty the team and reload it each and every year. And that's been proven a good approach for Iowa.
Yeah, and it's not everyone's approach, obviously. But I think it's more of a, I don't want to say middle profile, because I think in women's basketball, I think you have to include Iowa in a high-profile status, at least the last couple of years, the last 4 years, I think, to be honest with you, with a certain number 22 out there on the court. But still, Iowa's not one to go out and bring in 4 or 5 new players each and every year. And I think Iowa State is, for the most part, the same way. Maybe it's a more Midwest thing. I don't know, Mark, but that's just the way it is, I think.
That's the way it has been, and it totally depends on the makeup of your team. And, of course, NIL plays into this as well. And for some teams, it's going to be easier to attract players on the women's side, not so much for others. So a lot of variables go into it, but I think Jensen, like Bluder, believes in building through recruiting and developing and whatnot. And once you're successful, you're able to attract people like Olsen out of the portal and other high-profile recruits.
True indeed. 319-366-1600. And it's going to be a totally different year for Iowa women's basketball. We have discussed that. It's going to be, I think, a lot more of a relaxed atmosphere around the Iowa women's basketball team without Caitlin Clark there. And that's not a knock on Caitlin or anything like that. It is just a statement of fact, that not going to have to go through nearly as many hoops as they did last year. And probably good for Jan in her first year. That would have been a tough year if, let's just say, Caitlin had one more season, chose to stay around one more season.
Yeah, it's sort of like the new band on the block. The previous group was a bunch of rock stars, frankly. They were so loved by Iowa fans and attracted so many fans on the road, and that's been well documented with attendance and whatnot. And now it's almost a totally new group, and there are familiar faces like Hannah Stelke and Sydney Fulter, who is injured right now, will be back, Fierbach and others. So some of those players have that experience from, you know, being the center of attention, and now they're going to have to take on that role.
They are. More of a leadership role, certainly. 319-366-1600. So it's almost hoop season, Mark. And as we talked earlier today, basketball starts earlier and earlier and earlier each and every year. Now the exhibition games are in late October, and the first ball games are in early November. So we're about a month away from men's and women's basketball getting started in earnest, not only here in the state of Iowa, but around the country. And for good or for bad, I don't know. You can make that call.
I think it's going to be an extremely exciting season on both the men's and women's side across the state in the different leagues between the Big Ten and the Big 12 and Missouri Valley. Iowa teams are going to be maybe not prominent, but they're going to be a factor in many ways. And as we get into the season, talk to Kevin Lehman and others about this season, it's going to be very, very interesting to see how things develop for the various teams.
Yep, we got media days coming up in the next couple of weeks, so I got a feeling we're going to talk to our friend, the coach, Kevin Lehman, coming up soon, because he definitely will be at Missouri Valley media days, and more than likely will be at the Big 12 and the Big 10 media days as well. 14 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock. Already great questions coming in for Kevin Payne of rotowire.com. If you have a fantasy football question, you want to get that in early, go ahead at 319-366-1600. Mark, day two of Major League Baseball's wild card series. And speaking of transfer portals and all things 2020-esque, if you will, That's what the Detroit Tigers are doing today, because in game two, a chance to clinch, and they are throwing a bullpen game today. Just when you talk about modern day baseball and analytics and et cetera, so far so good, because Parker Meadows has just hit a home run off the foul pole or fair pole, whatever you prefer, in right field, and the Detroit Tigers are off to a 1-0 lead in the sixth inning already over the Houston Astros. If Detroit wins, then they move on to the American League Divisional Series.
So interesting, because three out of the four road teams won in the wild card games yesterday, Detroit being one of them. And as we said yesterday, and quite obviously, there's only one Tarek Skubal for Detroit. But now we have the bullpen game that you described, and frankly, sometimes those are very effective. They can be a disaster, but sometimes they're very effective, and so far it has been for Detroit. Brown pitching very well for Houston as well. So this, I think this one's far from over, but I think it's going to be fascinating to see what happens the rest of the day with the other series, Royals and Orioles coming up at the bottom of the hour, and then tonight the Mets and Brewers. The Mets rallying to beat the Brewers, and the Braves are probably on their last gasp against the Padres. And I believe we have the Mets and Braves tonight on KGYM, right?
Mets-Brewers, you mean? Mets-Brewers.
Mets-Brewers, yeah.
Yes, we do. We do. 6 o'clock with the pregame for that one, and 6:37 with the first pitch, with the Mets leading that series 1-0. You mentioned Hunter Brown. It was a quick hook, as it is more often than not in the postseason. Gave up the home run, came back with two outs, and then gave up a walk, and he is done for the day. So now Houston is going into their bullpen to try to tie this thing up, keep it close, and perhaps send it to a game three coming up tomorrow. Yeah, you mentioned the three road teams getting the victory. It was an overwhelming performance by the San Diego Padres last night. They were very, very impressive. I tell you what, the Kansas City Royals bullpen hasn't been stellar. They've been okay, but they haven't been stellar. But, man, they were stellar yesterday in depositing the Baltimore Orioles and leading them to a shutout win. And then boy, it looked good for Milwaukee early on. But then, man, Peralta, yeah, I don't know. A lot of second-guessing, I think, Mark, going on as far as the Milwaukee Brewers are concerned, and the way that their pitching staff was handled yesterday. I get it. Maybe this is just the old school in me, old school baseball showing. But, Mark, I think you got to go beyond what you usually do in the regular season when you get to the postseason. I don't think you can just go out there and do your 80 pitches or 85 pitches and then turn it over. If you've got good stuff, if you're going well, I think you stay in there.
Well, this is, it's especially so in a three-game series. And historically speaking, in the short time that best of three wildcard series have been in existence, 13 out of the 16 teams that win the first game go on and win it. So that kind of underscores the importance of that first game. You know, when you lose, there's going to be questions. One leads to the other. There's no doubt about that. But so many managers are tied in, and my favorite team has one in Rocco Baldelli, and in terms of pitch counts and whatnot, and you'd think it'd be better to leave that starter in because he's pitching well. Look at Brown. In Houston, he gave up two hits in six innings. He did give up the go-ahead run, but he's done after giving up only two hits. He did throw almost 100 pitches, so that led to that. But I get it. Again, I think when you lose, that opens a lot of questions.
And Peralta didn't overwhelm anyone. Let's get that straight. I don't think he overwhelmed anyone, but he got things rolling, and I thought it was a quick hook. That's just my opinion on it. And Brewer fans, I don't know, Greg and Epworth, what do you think? If you're still...
he's weighed in.
Okay, he has weighed in. All right. I don't have it yet, though. Maybe your monitor's quicker than my monitor, Mark.
Greg says Murphy's decisions this year have been gold. It's easy to say in hindsight.
Yeah, well, if you've been doing it all year, I guess it's fine. I have forever stuck in my head Tom Kelly trying to get the ball away from Jack Morris. maybe I got to get rid of that image sooner than later. Perhaps we're not going to see those days again, Mark.
Well, the days of, you know, Jack Morris and especially Bob Gibson. Bob Gibson, I don't think hardly ever left the mound unless he wanted to. Period.
Yeah.
Now it's a different story.
Brewers with their backs to the wall now. We will have game two between the Brewers and the Mets coming up tonight for you. Again, that will be at 6 o'clock. The schedule is a jumbled mess for tomorrow. We do know this. We are going to have a game at 6 o'clock for you tomorrow unless all four wild card series come to an end today, which is highly unlikely. So if there is a baseball game tomorrow night, we will have it for you. We will join up just ahead of first pitch at 6 o'clock. No matter what scenario plays out, there will be a game starting at 6:07 tomorrow. We have no idea who's going to be playing in said baseball game, but we will have a baseball game unless all four series end today. And if that is the case, then we will have Thursday night football for you coming up tomorrow evening. Between, I think it's the New Orleans Saints and the Atlanta Falcons. No, that can't be right. Not sure who. Who is playing tomorrow night, Isaac? Who's playing football tomorrow night?
That would be Atlanta and...
I had Atlanta right.
Tampa Bay.
Okay, Atlanta, Tampa Bay. Thank you. I knew it was NFC South. How can it not be an NFC South game? 319-366-1600. Yeah, and Greg and Epworth laying out everything as far as everything that the Brewers did not well yesterday. Adames with a misplay, all in the same inning. Could have got out of that inning very, very cheaply, but that was not the case. We'll see what happens in game two. I don't foresee all of these series coming to an end. Boy, if Detroit, this would be the first time, Mark, in 7 years that the Houston Astros will not have advanced or at least played in a divisional series if they do lose this game to the Detroit Tigers today. This could be the Alex Bregman is a free agent. Houston's already lost several players off their terrific teams, albeit, yes, with perhaps an asterisk next to it with everything, all the shenanigans that went on with the sign stealing. We all know about that, but this is still a very good core of a baseball team, and you might see the Astros starting to break up the old gang even more if they lose today or, you know, really no matter what happens going into next year.
That would be something, and it would be something for our American League Central should Detroit win two on the road. The same for Kansas City, and you referenced it earlier, an unlikely way to win that game. 1-0 on a ground ball single by Bobby Witt Jr. God, that guy's good. And hung on to win 1-0 as the bullpen. Reagan's had a great start. For Kansas City, but it was the bullpen that you look at Kansas City, and it's not necessarily one of the strengths of the team, but it came on and was able to preserve the shutout. So a good start anyway. This game in Houston's obviously far from over, and Kansas City's got to get one more.
Yeah. Seth Lugo, 16-game winner, will go for the Kansas City Royals today. Zach Eflin with the season on the line for the Baltimore Orioles will go this evening. And Atlanta and San Diego, to me, Mark, it looked like Atlanta, just the tank was empty. Now, granted, San Diego got things rolling early. One of the magnificent wild card bat flips and slow circling of the bases of all time in a playoff series by Fernando Tatis Jr., in my opinion. But the Padres looked very, very good. And like I said, Atlanta looked like they were they just didn't look like they had a lot of gas left in the tank.
No, especially at that doubleheader on Monday, losing the first one the way it did and then having to come back and win that second game, which it did. Sometimes that really motivates a team going into the playoffs. But Atlanta without Chris Sale available, yeah, it looked like the Braves might be done.
Yeah, 319-366-1600. So they have sauntered to the bottom of the sixth inning, and it is 1-0 in favor of Detroit. Yordan Alvarez has led off the bottom of the sixth inning against Brisky with a walk. Now, they have not pinch run for him. Remember, Alvarez coming off the injury, he's got a bum leg and a bum wheel. So basically anything on the ground from Alex Bregman right now more than likely could be a double play. So we will see how it goes with Houston and Detroit. We're going to get our man, Kevin Payne, from rotowire.com on the phone and talk with him and answer your fantasy football questions. We will do that coming up here in just a little bit. And if you're playing playoff fantasy baseball, if you have a question, hey, Kevin will field those as well. And we'll get those ready to go at 319-366-1600. We'll do that coming up here in just a little bit, but we need to get it to Mark first for an Emels Hideaway scoreboard update at this time, brought to you by Emels, First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. They are right across from the Lindale Mall and next to the Home Depot, open at 4 o'clock. And you can find their tremendous menu and delicious menu. It is online at emelshideaway.com.
Couple golf items. The fall version of the PGA Tour resumes tomorrow with the Sanderson Farms Classic in Mississippi. Zach Johnson trying to improve his standing for next year. He will play 12:23 tee time with K.H. Lee and Gary Woodland. John Daly, playing on the senior tour these days, announced that his home in Clearwater, Florida, succumbed to Hurricane Helene over the weekend. And finally, the NCAA announced 240 future sites for its national championships. In men's basketball, the first and second round games of the 2028 men's tournament will be played in Des Moines at Wells Fargo Arena. Also in basketball, the women's Division III tournament finals will be in Cedar Rapids at Alliant Powerhouse in 2027. And wrestling, future sites for the NCAA Division I tournament include St. Louis in 2027 and Minneapolis in 2028. The Division II finals will be in Cedar Rapids in 2027. Ames also landed a spot for a cross-country Division I regional, and TPC Deer Run will host a women's golf regional in 2028.
Happy, Isaac. St. Louis and Minneapolis for wrestling.
Yeah, I think the more central locations are best for wrestling, just because it's a bit kind of a big Midwest sport. And I thought Kansas City last year was really good, and I feel like a lot of people were able to make the trip a lot easier than maybe this year. I think it's a little bit more difficult going a little bit farther out east. So
agreed. A couple other notes. Pac-12 says they are going to put a pause on their expansion talks right now until they have a media rights group that is coming in and taking a look. They are evaluating exactly where the Pac-12 is right now, in along with their media capabilities. So they are putting a pause in that. for whatever that's about. If somebody says, hey, we want to come to the Pac-12, they're not going to say no. And very interesting news in NASCAR coming out today that the two teams have brought federal antitrust lawsuits against NASCAR, one of those being Michael Jordan's race team, Front Row Motorsports and 2311 Racing that Michael Jordan is a part owner in. They are taking NASCAR to court, and a lawsuit today from those two particular groups had this quote in it. The France family and NASCAR are monopolistic bullies, unquote. They didn't mince any words with this. It has to do with the charter system and the revenue sharing agreement that NASCAR has with their race teams. The 13 larger ones, if you will, all signed, sealed, and not quite delivered as of yet, but 2311 Racing and Front Row Motorsports are not on board with this as of right now. And it'll be very interesting to see if this does go to court, how it's going to play out. IndyCar has just got into the charter system as well, and they are going to go into a revenue sharing so that more of the race teams are going to get a bigger piece of the pie down the road, but they want a little bit more for themselves. 319-366-1600. We'll take a break, come back, get your questions ready to go for Kevin Payne of rotowire.com, and we will get those answered for you coming up next.
Eastern Iowa weather from 1600 ESPN.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your Weather First forecast. And we're going to have plenty of sunshine and plenty of wind. Winds will be gusting out of the south around 20, 25 miles per hour. Temperatures will climb into the mid-70s. As we head into tonight, the winds back off. The skies will be clear and temperatures will cool down into the mid-40s. Tomorrow is going to be sunny and a bit warmer with a high around 80. We'll then have a cold front slide through, leading to some clouds Thursday night into early Friday. And then temperatures will be in the low 70s on Friday. That's your latest Iowa's News Now Weather First forecast.
The silly moments, the proud moments, even the hard moments, they're what make life remarkable. And they're why Wellmark Blue Cross and Blue Shield is here for every moment, committed to making healthcare better, more affordable, with more choices for care, and service and coverage that give you peace of mind no matter what comes your way, so you can show up for every tender moment, every brave moment, and every wouldn't miss it for the world moment, knowing that Blue is here for you. Go to walmart.com/everymoment to find a plan right for you.
Scott Unash for your neighborhood Quick Star. And hey, are you ready for a trip down memory lane? Perhaps that smell as you walk into Quick Star with all of the delicious smells of the cookies and the muffins that the Quickery is baking. They're going to take you back to yesteryear. And the Quickery's got muffins, they've got cookies baked with love and a touch of that old-fashioned goodness like Grandma used to make. Grab a muffin for just $1.19. That is your perfect on-the-go treat. From glazers to cake donuts, indulge at the bake sale. What are you waiting for? Treat yourself, and that is only at your neighborhood Quick Star. And also, if you need a little boost, there's nothing like Quick Star's Karuba Coffee. Now only 79 cents. Any size when you swipe your Quick Rewards card. All that going on, the bake sale, and more at your neighborhood Quick Star.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-687-5192. That's 800-687-5192. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-687-5192.
Great game. You got into the end zone again and again. How'd it feel?
Awesome. Like getting a new iPhone again and again. I just got the new iPhone 16 Pro today.
Really?
Yeah. And with AT&T Next Up Anytime, I can upgrade early every year.
Very nice.
Feel like an MVP again. Learn how to get the new iPhone 16 Pro on us and the latest iPhone every year with AT&T Next Up Anytime. AT&T. Connecting changes everything. Offer subject to change. Additional fees, terms, and restrictions apply. $0 offer may not be available on future iPhones. Next Up Anytime feature may be discontinued at any time. See att.com/iPhone for details.
Progressive presents 10 things on a contractor's to-do list that are harder than getting a commercial auto insurance quote. Bidding a new client, giving an accurate estimate, finding affordable materials, getting a client to pay you for work you already did, getting a client to pay you, period, securing permits and workers and tools, getting those workers and tools to work together, and finding the perfect pair of overalls. Pockets, baby. But the easiest thing on a small business owner's to-do list? Seeing if you can save on commercial auto insurance. Get a quote in as little as 7 minutes at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Coverage subject to policy terms and conditions.
Back with you at 3:35 on a Wednesday edition of the Gym Class right here on 1600 ESPN. Coming up tomorrow, we're going to talk. We'll start diving into Iowa, Ohio State a little bit more as we will talk with one of the beat writers from the Columbus Dispatch for the Ohio State Buckeyes. That'll be coming up on the program tomorrow. Iowa, Ohio State on Saturday, and that will be a 2:37 kickoff from the Shoe in Columbus. As our late great friend, Mr. Bob Brooks, used to say, nothing like a game on the banks of the Olentangy. Right, right, Mark?
That's what he said.
But right now, we want to talk some fantasy football with you. Kevin Payne of RotoWire.com joining us here. His appearance brought to you by I'm On Communications. They are the official sponsor of all things fantasy sports here on 1600 ESPN. Also the sponsor of our Survivor Pool, which is down to a precious few. And $500 is going to go out to our one lone winner of the Survivor Pool. Cool. And Kevin, little did I know how many points are associated with my quarterback catching a touchdown pass, but by golly, that helped the old team over the weekend.
Yes, and when you see that he gets into the end zone or he scores a touchdown, I mean, you assume maybe he got lucky and they just ran a little sneak from the 1 yard line. You don't usually get the credit for a catch as well, so that it was just a little bit sweeter that it came that way.
Allowed me to go to 2-2. So thank you very much, Jared Goff. Thank you, Dan Campbell, for the little trickeration for the Detroit Lions the other night. 319-366-1600. It's week 5 coming up. We are getting to the point of buys now, number 1. And number 2, man alive, we got some injuries all over the place, don't we?
We do. And I think it's unfortunately going to get worse before it goes ahead and gets better. We've got a kind of, I don't even want to say a holdout, but something's going on with Davante Adams, and I don't think his hamstring is quite as bad as it seems. So, Rashee Rice, he's banged up. Anthony Richardson and Jonathan Taylor both left their games, but it looks like they're going to be okay. I mean, we'll know more. I always tell people to go ahead and wait till practice on Friday to go ahead and make a determination. And I was actually surprised that the news today about Rashee Rice is that he's not out for the season. He might be back soon, which I thought was interesting. I thought as soon as the injury happened, we'll see him next year. It's too bad, but, a lot's going to be changing in the league. We've got some guys who are getting some opportunities. So waiver wire was definitely interesting this week. And as you said, you add in those four teams that are going to be on bye this week. All of a sudden, it gets a little bit more interesting who people are picking up, who they're going to have to start. And that's going to be that way for the next 7 or 8 weeks with all these buys upon us.
Let's get to our listeners, Kevin. Many got in early in the hour, 46:30, out of the chute. Stroud or Geno Smith?
Yeah, interesting question. And, I mean, you think about where these guys were drafted. They definitely went ahead and took Stroud ahead of Geno Smith. Now, that being said, I think you take Geno Smith. He's coming off a career-high passing game. I think Stroud at home, great set of receivers, Stephon Diggs revenge game. But I think that the Buffalo defense shows up. They played great the first 3 weeks before not looking so good against the Baltimore Ravens, and that was really against Derrick Henry. So I'm going to say, believe it or not, go with Geno Smith. he's got a nice set of receivers as well. DK Metcalf's having a great season. It's not surprising. He reminds me an awful lot of Calvin Johnson. There's nothing – I mean, you're not going to go wrong if you really want to play Stroud, so I'm saying that this is like a 55-45 choice. But I would probably push comes to shove. Geno Smith at home against the defense of the New York Giants, I like better than going up against the Buffalo Bills.
Okay. Another question here. It's a full PPR league. T. Higgins or Robinson of the Giants?
You know, a lot of this is going to depend on if Neighbors play. And there's a very narrow tree between Wendale Robinson and Malik Neighbors, because that's all that Daniel Jones seems to throw to. Those guys had something crazy, like almost around 30 targets last game. But I'm going to say I would go with T. Higgins. Now, if Neighbors is out, he's suffered the concussion, but he's got some extra time to come back because that was last Thursday night's game. If he's going to be out, though, I would go ahead and go with Robinson. But provided that Neighbors is there, then I would go with Higgins. Higgins will get it going. It's just a matter of time. Should be an interesting game. Huge over-under in this game, too, in Cincinnati. 50.5. I believe that's the biggest over-under this week. So should be a shootout there in Cincinnati. That's why I'm going to say Higgins.
54-27 is in a full PPR, Kevin, and needs one of these three. ETN, Ford, or Dowdle?
Ford or Dowdle. Now, I think we've seen Dowdle kind of maybe start to take a hold of that starting running back position away from Ezekiel Elliott. I don't trust him completely yet. At the end, he's got to go ahead and Tank Bigsby is averaging 8.2 yards a carry. Now, a 21 carry is not a huge sample, but he's definitely going to split work with him going forward. Then you've got Jerome Ford, who I think has been pretty solid, but one of the bigger surprises so far has been the Commanders. So it's kind of tough to say. As long as ETN is a little bit banged up, he's dealing with a shoulder injury. If he's going to be out there, I would go with ETN. Just be prepared that Bigsby's going to get his touches as well, just given his early season success.
Kevin Payne joining us at 341. If you have a question, get it to us now at 319-366-1600. PPR league for 63-28. Need two. Addison, Lazard, or Hunt?
Lazard or Hunt. I do believe that Hunt has taken over that backfield for Kansas City, which is a little bit surprising. Now,
yep.
That being said, Clyde Edwards-Helaire could be back this week, and it just murks things up. I think that Carson Steele is in the doghouse. He fumbled again. But then we went ahead and saw Samaje Perine get the goal line carry. It wasn't Hunt. But I do like Hunt enough. Lazard, man, they're going through some stuff there for the Jets. I thought this was going to be a much more much better team than what has played so far. We've seen Aaron Rodgers and Robert Saleh go at each other. So I'm going to say go Addison, go Hunt. I know Lazard is kind of Rodgers' man, but I think he's going to be largely inconsistent this season. And right now, that offensive line for the Jets is terrible. And, we got our first London game, too. Forgot to mention that we have a game across the pond. So it's going to be early Sunday morning. Football is going to start over in England.
85-93 has a two-parter, is in a PPR league. First part, Najee Harris or Javonte Williams. Second part, Olave or Worthy.
Gosh, I think you have to go with Worthy, just given he's going to have a huge role in this offense. Not a big over-under. I was surprised. I thought the over-under was going to be more, considering that the Chiefs are facing the New Orleans Saints, and it's interesting that it's going to come down to Monday night for him. But, which player do you want? But I think I go Worthy over Olave, just given that he should have that number one status or even 1B status to Travis Kelce, who finally had a good game. Then looking at the running back question, I'm going to go with Najee Harris, not the sexiest pick whatsoever. But at home, they're a favorite against the Dallas Cowboys, whose defense was supposed to be good, and they have not looked good through 4 weeks of the season. So I'll say Harris just because of the floor and Worthy over Olave.
And now the Cowboy defense beat up a little bit too.
Yes. Some injuries coming out of that Thursday night game. So that kind of makes things look a little bit better for Pittsburgh as well. And I think if I told you at the beginning of the season, before the season started, that week five, Dallas at Pittsburgh is almost going to be a field goal favorite at home, which means if they were on a neutral field, they'd be dead even. I don't think you would have believed me, but here we are, just given the fact of how Dallas has played so far.
Yeah. Greg in Epworth, while he gets ready to root his Milwaukee Brewers on in a one-point PPR league, Najee Harris, Bucky Irving, or Samaje Perine? Good question there.
Yeah, Bucky Irving is interesting, too, because Rashad White has had a lot of workload, and Bucky's looked great so far. I don't think you go, and he just needs one out of these three?
Does not say. I would say one.
Okay, I would go back to Harris. White's still there. It's definitely not Perine, just given the fact, I know, as I said, he got the goal line work, but Hunt's got a bigger role. CEH could be back. So very murky in that Kansas City backfield. So I'm going to say Harris is probably the safest out of those three. And if you need a second guy, then I would go with Bucky.
1288 is in a half-point PPR and needs two of these three. So throw out one, Kevin. Trey Tucker, Juju Smith-Schuster, or Rashawn Johnson?
You definitely go Trey Tucker because Devontae Adams, Trey Tucker might be that number one guy there. For the Raiders, gosh, I might say Juju, just given the fact that, again, it's really tough to read the tea leaves and figure out. I know Worthy's going to get his, but you got Mecole Hardman, you got Justin Watson, and plus you got Juju. So I would probably say sit Juju out of those three. Definitely go with Trey Tucker, though, as long as Devontae Adams is going to be out.
Yeah, I mean, being a Chiefs fan, I have no idea. I mean, Sky Moore had a pass going his way, for heaven's sake.
And that's the thing. And here's kind of what's odd about that. If you take a look, as I said, like I'm having a tough time, and it's a phrase that we like to use at RotoWire, reading the tea leaves and trying to figure out, read the tarot cards, whatever you want to say, figure out. And I don't remember a team where they've had so many questions at wide receiver and at running back at the same time, at least for fantasy purposes. And then you go ahead, and what makes it even murkier is Travis Kelce finally had a good game, and maybe this is what all this questions at running back and wide receiver kind of goes ahead and makes the game plan focus more on him, which we did not see through the first 3 weeks of the season. So maybe this all just goes ahead and benefits Kelce. But again, I don't remember a team where you take a look at the running back position and wide receiver, and as I said, past Xavier Worthy, who's really the main guy for wide receiver? Who's really going to be the main guy for running back? As you said, the return of CEH possibly is it clouds things up. Carson Steele, a few weeks ago, we were talking about as being the top guy. Seemed like he was going to be the top guy, but you put the ball on the ground twice, they're not going to go ahead and deal very well with that. And Kareem Hunt, and I'll give Kareem Hunt credit, because if you look at his last few seasons, and granted they were with the Browns, his yards per carry number just kept steadily dropping, which is why he probably wasn't on a roster to start this year, but did look very good. And when you play in this offense with Patrick Mahomes, that tends to go ahead and elevate your numbers. So, as you said, Worthy's probably the wide receiver I like the best, and obviously Kareem Hunt's probably the running back right now. I like the rest, but I feel like this could change week by week.
Isaac, you have a question.
Yes, a caller called in to ask, Jaden Daniels or Josh Allen?
Ooh, that's just bragging.
I have a plethora of riches. I think the answer is always going to be Josh Allen. Now, Jaden Daniels, and I mean, I was just talking about before the season started, we would be laughing at this question. Oh, week five, you're going to be get asked Jaden Daniels or Josh Allen. That being said, what I would do right now, if you've got those two guys, put Jaden Daniels out on the trade market and see what you can get for him. Upgrade at running back, wide receiver. See if you can get somebody good while you can sell high. I think he's completing 82% of his passes. Look, that's not gonna sustain. There's going to be regression to the mean. That's me wearing the Captain Obvious hat. We all know that. But that being said, there's so much hype behind Jaden Daniels right now. Don't make this decision each and every week and agonize over it. Get Jaden Daniels out there. Try to get something for him. We know there's going to be a little bit more consistency with Josh Allen. And with Jaden Daniels, there's got to be some bumps in the road, just given the fact that he's a rookie. But right now, while his value is real high, dangle him out on the trade market.
Agree. Let's go to 1250. He is getting hit hard this week with the buys at running back. Should he go with Javonte Williams? My computer just refreshed here. Or Zamir White for his second running back. Best on the wire are Steele and McLaughlin in a PPR league.
Yeah, wonderful. The two Denver running backs to choose from are Zamir White, who has been largely, ineffective, which I did not see coming. I really thought that he was going to have a little bit better season so far. Now, that being said, I think you still go with Zamir White, just given the fact that he had 17 carries last week. They do target him occasionally in the passing attack. Might get the goal line work. But right now, that's really ugly. And I'm not really sure which way to go with the Broncos running backs. McLaughlin finally had a decent game, and it wasn't even that great last week. But I think I'm going to skip them and go with Zamir White between those three.
And the Carson Steele hype train came to an end with the second fumble.
Yes, basically. He's in the doghouse. I don't see why we're going to see him anytime soon. Kareem Hunt looked good. If Kareem Hunt had not looked good, that would be one thing. And they kind of gave him a pass on that first fumble. They went right back to him in the same game. But as soon as he did that early, I think he was out there for like one more touch the whole rest of the game. So, yeah, Carson Steele is not – out of all the running backs you want, you'd rather have Samaje Perine. You'd rather have CEH at this point. And then the other confusing thing that makes it more difficult talking about the Chiefs is, if I'm correct, their bye week is next week. So it's week six. So even if you pick up these guys – you might be able to use them this week, then they're going to be useless week six. So that just further clouds the things for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Kevin, should Davante Adams owners be licking their chops at a possible trade or not?
I think they have to be. I know he had one big game with Gardner Minshew, but right now, and I don't know, it's really tough to read the situation. Is he at fault? Are the Raiders at fault? I know I saw an interview with him yesterday when he's saying nobody's contacted me from the team. He said something about he wanted to be traded, and Antonio Pierce liked it. He hasn't heard from Antonio Pierce. It's a very weird situation. Usually we do not see – I was trying to think back. We usually don't see this high caliber of a player get dealt before the trade line deadline, which is at the end of this month. It's on Halloween, I believe, at 4 o'clock Eastern time. But it's definitely the 31st. I mean, he could get dealt within the next few weeks, especially if I'm a team. Why not go out and get him now and maximize his potential rather than wait till the last week and possibly overpay for him if you think you're in a bidding war? So I think you got to be super excited about him going to some team. If he goes to Aaron Rodgers, you just know the familiarity there. My Buffalo Bills, we're looking for a number one wide receiver. How would he fit in with Josh Allen? I mean, there's so many better opportunities, I think, with all due respect to Gardner Minshew. There's so many better offenses and quarterbacks that if he gets dealt with, I think the odds are at least 95%. He goes to a team with a better quarterback situation. So right now, if I'm Davante Adams' owner, I'd be super happy. I do have him in one place, and luckily, I think I have Calvin Ridley, who I'm playing instead of him, which is totally fine. But I'm waiting to see where he lands and just hoping he gets with one of these great offenses. I mean, he can end up with the Chiefs. If Rashee Rice's knee injury ends up being worse than what they thought, and as I said, they thought it was terrible, now not so much. But, I mean, he could end up with the Chiefs, too. They're going to need a number one guy if Rice is going to be out. So a lot of possibilities, and I think it's all upside if Davante Adams gets traded to another team.
I can't perceive the Raiders being that, I'm going to say, dumb to trade Davante Adams to an in-division rival. But weirder things
you never know
have happened. 95-95, asking, is Jonathan Brooks worth holding on to?
I don't think so. Not at this point. Just given the fact that he's still a rookie and he's got to go ahead and, number one, he's got to prove he's healthy. Number two, he's got to go ahead and prove that he's, he knows the playbook. He knows the blocking schemes. Chuba Hubbard has been pretty solid in his absence. I've got to admit that he's been a huge surprise for me. You go ahead and look, I think he's got 200-yard games in a row right now. So why are you going to go ahead and get away from the guy who's being wildly successful with a ton of touches? Chuba Hubbard, definitely been a nice surprise for fantasy people, fantasy owners who picked him up, rostered him, and have been playing him the last couple of weeks. Nice matchup again this week against the Chicago Bears, who do not have a great running back. So I'm more than fine with going ahead and dropping Jonathan Brooks, even if, you know, once he comes back, you're like, okay, wouldn't feel safe plugging him right into my lineup. So go ahead and cut bait with him. A piece of advice I always give fantasy owners is don't go ahead and hold on to a guy and hope 3-4 weeks down the road he could help me, because by then you could be out of play, making the playoffs, contention for making the playoffs. So don't be afraid to cut bait and get a guy who's going to actually matter and could possibly help your team over the next few weeks.
All right, two real quick here before we let you go here. Several here. Made a trade, have a good problem at wide receiver and a PPR. Need two wide receivers and a flex of Chase, Harrison Jr., Metcalf, Diggs, Hill, or Higgins. That is one question. And then do I drop Evan Engram is another question.
UConn, it just depends on who you're picking up. The tight end's been an absolute mess so far this season. Look, you can't trust Tyreek Hill whatsoever right now. Diggs, I wouldn't take him either. I think he was looking for two wide receivers and a flex. I think you go Harrison Jr., Chase, DK Metcalf. I think those three are really solid. That's a plethora of riches, to be honest. And to have those other guys, unfortunately with Hill, I just don't know what his value is going to be. He'll pop up and have, I think, a good game every once in a blue moon. And Hill's off this week too. I don't think they realize that, they're playing the Patriots. Excuse me. I'm thinking of the Titans are off this week. But I just don't trust Hill right now, and I don't think you can until he goes ahead and has a big game. They're going to try to get him the football, but the opposing defense knows that, and they're not going to really respect the quarterback, no matter who's at quarterback for the Dolphins.
All right. Real quick, let us know about rotowire.com.
Yeah, a lot of stuff going on at rotowire.com. Just posted today was my waiver wire article. And we'll have staff picks, which, believe it or not, we are forced to pick every game this year. This is printed on the site ahead of time. I'm 42-21-1 so far this season, picking every game against the spread. Not picking the winner, picking every game against the spread. Will not continue. Again, regression to the mean, Captain Obvious there. But that comes out, and then we'll have some gambling stuff up there this weekend. But a lot of stuff about, as we talked about, players' injuries, the impact they're going to have. We got all the depth charts there. You can go ahead and see who's kind of moving up, who's moving down the rankings. So rotowire.com/trial. Sign up for your free 10-day trial.
All right. Thanks, Kevin. Best of luck. We'll talk next week.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
All right. Quick break. We'll come back, update you on baseball, and have a Bowling Night in America preview for you.
Every 40 seconds, a child is reported missing. That's 2,000 children every single day. It's a heart-wrenching reality that we can no longer ignore. Find the Children is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping find missing kids. You can be a part of their mission by donating your unwanted vehicle, running or not. Call 1-800-294-0222. We guarantee that you will receive the maximum tax deduction. We provide fast, free pickup with 24-hour response. Call 1-800-294-0222. Find the Children provides crucial resources to help find missing children and educational materials to teach kids how to recognize and avoid predators. Our recovery programs have a proven track record of reuniting kids with their families. It's time to act. Donate your unwanted or unused car. Help us build a world where every child is safe. Pick up the phone and call 1-800-294-0222. Together, we can bring these kids home safely. This advertisement was paid for in partnership with Cars R Us and Find the Children.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league, but they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl, off Williams Boulevard, Southwest in Cedar Rapids. The official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the Gym.
And it is a Wednesday, and it is a Bowling Night in America. And this preview brought to you by May City Bowl on Trent Street Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the home of Bowling Night in America. And two old teams go at it tonight on the end, Mark.
Yeah, we're tight on time here, but Rusty Nails / CRM Live Sports, a new sponsor coming aboard. At any rate, face Durline Scale, the always formidable Durline Scale, at the end of the house, lanes 31 and 32.
Where weird things tend to happen. So we'll have a complete report coming up for you tomorrow. We will also talk Iowa, Ohio State from the Buckeyes' side of things tomorrow. Houston and Detroit tied at 2. They are in the 8th. Kansas City with the early jump over Baltimore. 1-0 in the second inning. And Spencer on Sports, they will keep you updated on that. Those two ball games as he takes you through the 4 and 5 o'clock hour. Mark, talk to you tomorrow.
Sounds great. Talk then.
You've been listening to The Gym Class right here on 1600 ESPN.
If you have ever thought about remodeling your bathroom but were worried it would take too long or cost too